Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. As you know, our Tuesday program is normally devoted to helping people with their issues with recovery. But because of the election season in the last 6 weeks, I have devoted this program to what is happening politically. And I'm broadcasting to you, as is my normal state, from the We Believe Tower, the 10th floor, high above Midtown Atlanta, looking out as the trees are turning to the skyline of Buckhead, which looks majestic. Now, this is it. Our time is at hand. The election is over in the East in 90 minutes. It's over in the Midwest in 2.5 hours. And by the time you get to the West Coast, there isn't anything that's up for grabs. California and Oregon and Washington and Hawaii are all safe Obama states, and Alaska is safe for the Republicans. So that's something that we don't have to worry about. Now, to begin with, I've got a friend of mine from North Carolina, Jim Kenny. Jim, this is Jack. You're on the air. How are you doing today? Jim, are you there? Evidently not. I'm going to say, is Stacy, is that you?
I'm here.
Hey, Stacy, how are you? Listen, I've got a friend calling in. Let me take him. Hang up and call back in a few minutes if you don't mind.
Sure.
Jim, this is Jack Watts in Atlanta. How are you today? Hello? Not doing too well with my stuff here. Jim, is that you? Oh, well, Richard, I don't seem to be able to get people on the air the way I'm supposed to. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well,
somehow you always managed to get me on the air.
You know, it is amazing. I had two other people, and I couldn't quite get them in. At any rate, when Jim Kenny calls, who is a friend of mine for many, many years, he is a commander in the Navy. He worked for Governor Huckabee when he ran for office last time for the presidency. He lives in North Carolina, and we were going to ask him a little bit about what was going on there, and that might be him right now. Let me just see if I can get him. Hang on here. Jim?
Yes, Jack. How are you today?
Fine. How are you? I'm so glad to have you on the program. I just my brother's on the line also, and I was
Hi,
just
Jim.
Discussing a.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Nice to
Good.
Talk with you and listen to see what's going on in the world.
Well, let's see if we can figure it out. I don't think we're getting a lot of reports in yet, but I'm encouraged by what I've been reading and seeing happen. Today's a big day. I think it's a defining day for America, and we'll see how it goes.
I think it's definitely a defining day. You're in North Carolina. Now, North Carolina is where they had the Democratic National Convention. It was the state that Obama won by the least amount of votes last time, and yet as it's not even in play anymore, is it?
No, it's pretty much been conceded that Romney's going to carry North Carolina this time around. I don't think you can take anything for granted, but we feel pretty good about North Carolina being in the red column and stuff.
In the state right next door to you, in Virginia, there are loads of military people. I saw this little thing that's gone around on Facebook that says 70% of military people are going to be voting for Romney, which is really surprising to me. And the surprise is that it's that low. I would have thought it would have been in the 90 percentile. But, you know, maybe you could shed some light on that. I've told the people that you were a commander in the Navy. Isn't that correct?
Well, my rank was captain. I commanded three squadrons while I was in the Navy.
Okay, I did that. I used to call him. I've done a lot of work for Jim over the years, and I call him commander all the time, and he was a captain. And that really is that was not a very good thing for me to do. Excuse me.
Well, Jack, I hope you realize too in the Navy that a captain is higher than a commander.
That is, I do know that much.
Good. Well, I'm glad you know a little something.
Captain in the Navy is like a full bird colonel in the Army or the Air Force. Navy
or the
rank
Marine,
is
too.
Different. And the Marines. The Navy rank is a little different. It matches up with all the other navies in the world, but not with the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air Force here. So a captain in the Navy would be a captain in the Israeli Army or the British, Israeli Navy or British Navy. And a colonel would be the equivalent in the Army or the Air Force or the Marine Corps here in the United States. So.
Better right. Known as a four striper.
That's right, four striper. Yeah. I was in zone for admiral when I retired and went to work for Walk Through the Bible down there with you, Jack.
Yeah. Now, 70% of military people are going to vote for Romney. Why is that so low?
Well, I think if you realize the demographic in the military, there's a significant amount of the military, all the services, that are African-American or black. And the military services were among the first and have accomplished some of the best civil rights, equality of opportunity kinds of approaches. The culture in the military is very homogeneous. But I do believe that what you see going on in the military right now is that there will be some black pride that will vote for President Obama because of their pride in who he is and what he represents from their culture and their community. So it might be a little lower than normal, although I would think that number may have kicked up after Benghazi because and what the administration did in terms of abandoning four American lives in Benghazi, the military has really been riled over that, and that may make some difference in that 70% number.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least. And the poll numbers are going to be in by this time tomorrow. We'll know who is who's president. But after that, this Benghazi thing is going to start coming up. I mean, I remember when the whole Watergate thing came up, and I thought, you know, I was younger, and I thought once Nixon was reelected that thing would just go away and that it wouldn't cause trouble, and boy, was I wrong. And nobody died. That was just a break-in.
I don't think this will go away regardless of who wins the election because there are too many unanswered questions. And at some point you talk to integrity and honesty, but some of the other questions about did the intelligence service fail? Was there a breakdown in the chain of command? There are things that we've got to resolve in order to make sure that we don't ever let something like that happen again.
It seems like the media continued to blame it on the military, my personal thoughts is that this is something that came from the White House down.
Well, there's stories bouncing around. I hate to report them as fact because I'm not sure, but based on my military experience, it's certainly possible, and the coincidence of timing is interesting. There's a Navy admiral that's been relieved of command who was in charge of the carrier forces in the Mediterranean, and there's been an Army general relieved of command who was in charge of the Africa Corps, and the rumors and the timing of it is they both were let go within 3 or 4 days of Benghazi, and the rumor that's floating around that I can't nail down is that they were relieved of command because they were both not responding to the stand-down commands. They were both ready to take action to save American lives in the Benghazi area, and in violation of commands that they were receiving from higher up the chain of command. I hope that's not true, but that is one of the rumors that's out there in the circuit. And
so they were fired for wanting to be heroes.
That's one explanation. The White House said that General Hamm was due to be relieved anyway, and all they've said about the Navy guy is that he made a that there was some question about his decision making in a particular situation. So they haven't been nailed down, but
very unique timing, though, correct?
Very unique timing. Both of those flag officers would be relieved at the same time.
Yeah.
All right.
Suspect at best.
Captain,
yes.
Here's a question that I want to ask. Now, just based on the timing of the whole thing in Benghazi, the ambassador and Smith were going to die anyway because they died early on from smoke inhalation, and there was no opportunity to save them once the thing started and there were people inside the compound. Now, the two ex-Navy SEALs, fought for hours, and it was close to 7 hours after the thing began that they died of a mortar that was shot based on the laser that pointed out where the mortar was. Now, my question to you is this. Would Tyrone Woods have given away his position and lasered had he thought that there was going to be that mortar would be taken out immediately? Wasn't that his thought in his mind?
Well, when he illuminated the target, he himself became a target, and it doesn't make any sense that he would have done that without some sense that there was there were resources in the area that could respond quickly to the illumination of the mortar site, which means that he thought, from the best I could piece this together, that the drones were armed, and that one of the drones could have taken out the mortar site.
Well, there were two drones. The first one was running out of gas, and they brought it back and sent a second one. Now, if they knew that it was running out of gas and then would send the second one, wouldn't you assume that they would arm the second one, even if the first one wasn't armed, because it came after they knew that it was under attack?
Well, that's a logical conclusion, and it's also supplemented by the fact that Ty Woods illuminated an enemy mortar site, expecting some sort of lethal response, because he was putting himself at risk when he did that, and he knew it. So he did it not foolishly, or at least you would think he didn't do it recklessly. That he thought that he had some support that would have eliminated the threat, and he would be. They wouldn't be able to respond to his position in time. That the drone would have, and I assume the drone weapon would have taken it out. I don't think there's any story about any other kind of weapon system, any gunships or any helos in the area that would have been able to do that. So it had to have been his expectation that the drone was armed.
From a timeline standpoint, though, wasn't this hours later?
Yeah,
wasn't
this
was
like
hours later?
In the
this
morning.
Was. Yeah,
yeah,
the battle
lasted for 7 hours, from the time of the initial request for support until everyone was dead and the battle was over.
Yeah.
So. Now, this is the part that bothers me the most, that he was there that long and he had the belief that help was on the way, because that's what we do as Americans.
Yeah, we don't leave anybody
abandoning
behind.
Abandoning a Navy SEAL is not something that we do, and for that to happen meant that someone had to consciously give the order that we were not to intervene.
Stand
down. Is
that
correct?
There are issues that haven't been addressed very thoroughly, but one is the issue of national sovereignty, which would have been a decision that would have to be, if we're going to violate Libyan sovereignty, that decision would have had to come from the State Department or ultimately from the President. But the counter to that is that the facility was sovereign U.S. property. So
yes.
To defend sovereign U.S. Property, we might have had to violate Libyan airspace.
Our U.S. soil.
Yeah.
That's what the American people don't understand, I think, either, Jim. It's like, well, that's in Libya. Where an embassy or a consulate is, that is the sovereign territory of the United States. And
that's
most
right.
People don't get that. Probably the way that most Americans would understand it the best would be that was when, you know, Jason Bourne went into the consulate, wherever it was in Austria or Germany, and those soldiers weren't allowed to follow him in there because that was the United States in that movie.
Right.
And that's graphically is something, and everybody's seen that, but people don't understand some of these other things. So I just thought I would throw that in there. Now.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any experience with anything like this in all of your years in the Navy? And what do you expect to happen as a result of this from the military perspective?
Well, I do know that 500 retired admirals and generals took out a full-page ad in the Washington Times supporting Romney and asking that the American people elect Romney. That's unprecedented. I've never seen that before. If Romney...
And they paid for it themselves, by the way. I posted that myself
did.
On Facebook.
Yeah, they did. If Obama is reelected, I don't think anything will happen. Our best hope would be that this admiral and General Hamm, if they have been relieved because they refused to stand down in that situation, that will become public knowledge. But if Obama's reelected, he's commander in chief, and I don't know what our course of action is. Can you call it treasonous? Is it impeachable? That's a stretch, perhaps. If Romney is elected, what I think Romney needs to do is to do a top-down check on the military. It's become pretty politically correct, and anybody that got their third or fourth star under Obama becomes suspect in terms of continuing to serve. And, now, that doesn't mean they all need to be relieved, but they need to be, their records need to be reviewed, and some of them are going to be asked to retire and to step aside to let us get the military back to being the military and not a political arm of the White House.
Well,
that's what it's come down to. Obama's got it as a political arm of the White House. Pretty fair.
There have been a lot of things that have been very political that he has his handpicked people. I'll give you an example. The don't ask, don't tell policy that he overrode. The man that he had selected to be commandant of the Marine Corps stood up and said, that's not good for combat Marines. And he was pushed aside and not given the command. And they selected another man who would endorse the homosexual serving on active duty before he was confirmed as commandant of the Marine Corps. So That's just one example of the how the military has been politicized by the Obama administration.
This is some pretty. If I were Romney, I think that I would have. I mean, this was an issue, and it in the second debate, you know, where President Obama said that he was offended that anybody would even make the implication that he wasn't doing the right thing. If I were advising Romney, I think I would have had him push back on that one, because it's clear that didn't happen. Now, at this point, the Republicans control one half of one third of the government, and that's the House of Representatives. It's also the place where all of the finances start, and it's also the most conservative part of America. And at this particular juncture, I think that there are people in the Armed Services Committee and in the Intelligence Committee that will be unwilling to not hold public hearings about this or whatever, because this is something that just isn't going to go
away. It's not
going to
die. It's not going to die, depending on who wins the election. You were asking about how we fix the military. I think if Romney's reelected, we'll have somebody in the White House who will restore the honor to the military. But if Obama's reelected, you're going to have the hearings. You're going to have, and I think there are some honest Democrats in the Senate that will want to have hearings too, because it's been, you know, four Americans died, and we don't know why. We've been lied to, we've been told fairy tales, and we got to get to the bottom of it. Not only because of the integrity of the government, but also because national security requires that whatever mistakes were made or whatever issues did result in that need to be corrected. We need to resolve them.
This isn't just two ex SEALs that got killed. This is an ambassador. An ambassador is the equivalent of a general, you cannot allow a general to be taken out, an ambassador to be taken out, without some real scrutiny to it. And my personal theory is that Obama's whole progressive, socialist, politically correct worldview did not and could not allow him to admit that this Arab Spring is not something that is democracy that would love America, and that they hate us every bit as much as anybody else, and that once these people got going on this, it showed that he had completely failed, and that al-Qaeda and other jihadists are growing instead of, you know,
Well, they argue that the Muslim Brotherhood was elected by a democratic process in Egypt, and I argue that it's not a democratic process till you hold the second election. But let's see if there's another one, because I'm not sure that in two or three or four years these folks are going to be willing to hold a public election.
One and done.
Let me give you this: the southern part of Israel is now doesn't have it's in danger. Whereas before, the one good thing that Jimmy Carter did was this peace accord in the Middle East, where the southern half of Israel was pacified and did not have to worry about attack. Now Israel is much more vulnerable.
Too vulnerable on two fronts. Only Jordan on her east is relatively secure, but the north, with the Lebanon and the Hamas coming through Syria, and the south now with the Muslim Brotherhood in control in Egypt, both of those fronts are at risk. I'm going to have to run. Let me leave you with one thought that I can't prove, but it makes sense to me, is that Obama does support an Islamic caliphate throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa, and everything that he does is designed to help make that happen. So if there are Muslims who create problems, like some of the Al-Qaeda, he kills them because they keep things destabilized and won't let the caliphate move forward. And if there are Muslims who will help, then he ignores their atrocities like he's doing in Syria and some other places. And or he takes them down like Qaddafi and Mubarak to get them out of the way. So I think he has a strategic plan in place to help establish an Islamic caliphate with Sharia law throughout the Middle East and across Northern Africa. Can't prove it, but it makes sense to me given the policies that he's implemented and why he's used drones to kill some and then ignored the atrocities and the and bring pressure against others. To me, it just makes sense that he's pushing for a unified Islamic caliphate across the Middle East and Northern Africa. I have got to run. We're having a watch party tonight, and I'm on the road getting some marinara sauce for my wife's packs that she's putting together. So I'm going to have to run. I've enjoyed it. By the way, I think we're going to win. I think
Captain. And I appreciate I appreciate you calling in. And this issue of the caliphate is something that we're going to talk about further on down the road. So thank you, Jim, and Lord bless you, and I will talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, okay. Jack.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Well, all right, Dick, let me, you know what, let me just explain a little bit what he was talking about this caliphate. This, I don't think most people have even any clue and say, well, what in the world is that? There is, in Islam, a belief in what they call the 13th caliphate, and that is a kind of messianic figure who is going to unite all of Islam and subjugate the world. Now, that's kind of like a second coming of Christ, but in the Islamic world. And there are those that believe that it's actually not a person, but a nation. And the Iranians believe that their purpose is to be martyrs, to be destroyed, to bring about this Islamic world. So that's why they're going for these nukes, knowing that they're going to be bombed as a result. They don't care. That's their purpose. Now, to people in the West and to others, it seems a little crazy. But this belief...
They're all pretty crazy over there.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, it seems crazy for somebody to get in a plane and fly into the World Trade Center, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that does seem a little insane. There was no declared war or anything like that. But they gave themselves for this. They believed that they were, you know, that puts them with Allah, and they get these 72 virgins and the whole rest of it. But this is a big, big, big deal. Now, we talked about the Middle East and about Benghazi today. The election stuff is already in the books. These are the things that we're going to be talking about in the future on our Monday program. And I think it's very important, it was really nice to have, the captain come on and give us some wisdom for things that we don't have. At the same time,
I agree.
Tonight is a huge night in the destiny of the United States of America, and there are probably some people that still haven't voted. If you haven't, go on out there and I think it's crystal clear why Barack Hussein Obama is not the person to lead the military and be commander-in-chief of the United States of America. that's all that we have time for today. So I just want to say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Good night.